Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First real introduction into the 2019 championship season for your fantasy football team and your fantasy football leagues. That being said, I think we've had a conversation with Paul Charchian from fanball.com and leaguesafe.com each and every year in July for Paul. I mean, we're probably talking 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love that we get to chat on a regular basis and get the juices flowing because honestly, baseball season is a war of attrition, and with no hockey, no basketball, fantasy players, they're already starving to get into fantasy football mode, and we're here to get the juices flowing, Tim.
The Hall of Fame game as will tee up on August 1st. Here we are. What's the date today? July 17th.
That's 2 weeks away.
It's
crazy.
Baltimore and Atlanta are going to tee things up at the Hall of Fame game. Paul Charchian, our guest here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And if you want to ask Paul a question, an expert in the field for sure, it's 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag MilHockeyTalk line. Paul, let me just go back a ways. I don't know if you're necessarily – I know you're the expert in the field, but are you a historian as well? And I just wanted to start things out today by the evolution of fantasy football. Now, we all know the internet took a huge step forward for this game. There's no doubt. Where and when did this thing get going? I know a lot of people say the rotisserie leagues and things like that, but in true fashion of fantasy football – Where did this come from, man?
Well, pre-internet, and I was in the business pre-internet. I started in the fantasy football space in 1993, Tim, with a magazine. And so, I go way back. And we think of pre-internet, there was 1 to 2 million people playing. And then when the internet came, it solved so many problems. We could run our leagues online. Before people were running it in Lotus 1-2-3 and Excel, and somebody had to go through the paper and hand tabulate all the scores. You took all that out. You also made it easy for people to find other people to play with. Before, if you didn't know, 11 other people, you didn't have a league. That now you've got, now you can find leagues all over the place. We create leagues and there's paid contests, just so many ways to play now. And the internet solved all of that. And it really took off in the mid 2000s era, so like 2005, 2006, 2007, it just exploded. And now from 1 to 2 million people playing 25 years ago, we're now at 50 million Americans that play. It's to the point that it's almost 1 in 3 males under 50 play fantasy football or fantasy baseball, some form of fantasy.
That's crazy to think that, there's 300 plus million Americans just in this country that are residents and 50 million of them, at least 50 million play fantasy football.
Yeah.
I go back to the late 80s, and I agree with you that it was tapped out of all the numbers were tapped on a little calculator, and it was done by hand. What's funny is there still is that old school sentiment, though. I just had a conversation with the commissioner of one of the leagues. 25 years. We just finished up our 25th year, and he's moving. He's moving to Madison, and I'm like, oh, wow, cool. He's old school, everything by hand still.
Wow.
Does his own website, the whole deal. Has history on there, head-to-head matchups, mm-hmm. Does it all by hand. He's moving to Madison, and I'm like, cool, so let's just do the online draft and no fuss, no muss. He's like, no, I'm thinking about tying a bow on it. And I said, hey, man, you ever been in a standard scoring online league? And he said, no. I didn't know that about him. And so the league may now go defunct. A 25-year heritage may go defunct here, and that's too bad. It really is.
I'll take the other side of it. And for some leagues, that's the case. I think more broadly, Tim, people don't get out of bad leagues enough, and commissioners don't wind down bad leagues enough and kick out bad players. We get in most leagues, we get into this thing where, well, you know, we got our 10 guys, we'll just roll it over year after year after year, and some leagues suck. There's no banter, there's no communication, there's no smack talk, just a bunch of people clicking buttons and making waiver wire moves. That's not what it's about. It's about the camaraderie and the competition and the smack talk.
That's what he said. That's exactly what he said.
When you don't have that stuff, don't play in that league. Go find another league with better players and more active, engaged players. I just wound down a 32-year-old league this year, and that was why. It had devolved into that. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. Life's too short. I'm going to go find other players who want to play the way I want to play, that want to communicate and engage with each other.
Yeah, it's tough, but hey, they make it really easy online. I will say that. The problem there is, and before we get to some specifics here, Paul, again, we're having a conversation with Paul Charchi and fanball.com, leaguesafe.com about fantasy football. The problem is that now you're tempted to get in too many leagues where you can't do the proper maintenance.
It's very easy to join leagues, and you're right. I think just, you know, unless you're incarcerated, we don't have time to manage eight leagues, right? I mean, retired or incarcerated, that's it. And incarcerated, it's tricky to get to the computer a lot of the time. And so it's really hard, and you have to figure out which ones you can actually viably participate in. For me, I think for most people, like two or three is about the max in which you can really be an active participant in it and manage your team very well. You know, you got a job, you got kids, you got a wife, whatever. And those, you know, you got to figure out what that number is for you, what the right number of leagues is.
Yeah, and that's just where some fantasy football players who are really good, they just stretch themselves a little too thin, man. And we all do it. All of us in multiple leagues, we gravitate toward like our main leagues. I'm in roughly five or six every year, but three of them are the most important. The other ones, like, I'll donate $60 this year, big deal. I'll see if I can squeak in and get on a run. But the others, I focus on them. There we go. There's the warning signal, and this comes up every year. You're on notice now, people that don't pay. You now have weeks to pay your entry fee. There's your warning sign. Here it is. Once again, stop with the joining and not paying. Doesn't that just irk you more maybe than anything else?
Well, I built a whole company around it. That's how much it irked me. I started LeagueSafe, which is designed specifically to get your deadbeats to pay up. So, yes, that's how much it bothered me. And LeagueSafe, it's the commissioner's dream for anybody who just doesn't want to handle the finances. We go nag your whole league, including your deadbeats, to come pay, and they pay online. We store all the money online for the season, and at the end of the year, the day the season ends, you tell us, how much money to give to who, and then we go pay everybody the day the season ends.
Oh, I love it.
It solves the other problem on the other end, too, which a lot of owners have run into, the commissioner who doesn't pay. He spent the money, and he doesn't pay on time. He solved that problem, too.
Oh, I've been there. I've been there, man. I've been the money holder just so the other guy couldn't go out drinking. I mean, I $1,500 is stashed in a drawer somewhere at my house because these knuckleheads would go out and spend it. All right, let's get to a few specifics before the first break here. Paul Charchian, fantasy football conversation today on the Bill Michaels Show. If you want to jump in here and you have a question, 855-830-8648. Let's go with the devalued position of running back. And I'm seeing this over the last, I want to say, 3 to 5 year window. What's going on with the running backs? Why is this?
It's devalued a couple of different ways. One, in real life, as you're looking at guys like Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon hold out because they understand that in real life, you know, the running backs don't make a lot of money and they're considered very replaceable. And running backs come and go, Tim. I looked at my cheat sheet from just 4 years ago. That's not that long ago. 4 years ago, of my top 15 running backs from 4 years ago, two of them are still relevant at all. All the rest, 13 of the other 15 are either retired or totally irrelevant in, for fantasy football purposes.
Wow.
That's it. The position just comes and goes so much. And you never know when the end is coming for these guys. And, the, you know, the players that feel safe and they feel like they're really good players this year end up just evaporating over the course of the season, and next year they're gone. And so it's always a dangerous position. But this year in particular, it's a pretty deep position. I think there's about 25 pretty darn viable running backs this year, and I have no problem every year. I think there's a lot of opportunity to avoid running backs.
Well, close to home here, Aaron Jones, and where do you have him?
Yeah. See, I really like him. Now, I know Matt LaFleur says he wants a timeshare, but let's just be honest. Jamal Williams sucks. Yeah, you know, Aaron Jones is where it's at, man. That guy is good. He was running back 14 last year overall by the end of the season. And you can talk all you want about a timeshare, but at the end of the day, when one running back's a lot better than the other one, that guy's on the field a lot more. And I know that Jamal Williams is a better pass blocker, he can do some things, but at the end of the day, Aaron Jones is a good running back. And I've got him ranked 13, and I think he's going to provide RB1 style numbers. And I'm frankly not that worried about Jamal Williams taking more than like 20-30% of the total workload there.
All right, and just before the break here, just to run through, because this is what fantasy football players are going to do here, Paul, as you know. They're going to get online, and they're going to look at the rankings. And the various different sites will have these rankings here. But they'll see Saquon, Zeke, McCaffrey, Kamara, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, James Conner, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Mixon, mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook. Okay, of those, who would you recommend to these guys? Hey, man, do an early July check mark, and I'd probably lean away from.
Oh, well, Todd Gurley for sure out of that list. I have Todd Gurley. You listed him in somebody's order as like roughly running back 6 or 7. Todd Gurley for me right now is running back 24.
Oh, wow.
I don't want a guy with a chronic arthritic knee problem on my team. You know, we already know it's going to be a timeshare. Do you want, you know, for all the fantasy owners that had Todd Gurley at the end of last year, or remember through the playoffs last year, and every week you're like, well, is Todd Gurley going to play? Is the knee going to let him play? What kind of role will he have? How many carries will he see to C.J. Anderson? You're going to live that all season long with Daryl Henderson wondering if he is the end here. You know, what is workload going to be? You know, when he shows up on the injury report with Todd Gurley, parentheses, knee, you're going to be like, oh, God, not again. Is this it's going to finish a game. You know, I don't want any part of that headache whatsoever. You should clearly avoid Todd Gurley, especially where somebody else is going to take him, which is going to be the first or second round. I want no part of Todd Gurley there.
Charge, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll hit the wide receivers and the quarterbacks as well. If you have a question for Paul Charchian from fanball.com or leaguesafe.com, you're welcome to it, 855-830-8648. On the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag MillHockeyTalkLine. Tim in for Bill today. You're listening to The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of The Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Sometimes a ride around the block, just not enough, and that's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program. Now, they've got 15 dealerships all throughout the state of Wisconsin, and that's what I did. I went to their one in Plymouth, to the truck center, and got the new Ram 1500, took it for 90 days, loved it, ended up buying it. And if you're not satisfied, the best part about it, you can return it with no additional commitment, or if you do buy it, you can save up to $2,000. Like I said, I got the 2019 Ram 1500 and love it. All you got to do is go to VanHornAuto.com and shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program exclusively at Van Horn. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. Family born and employee owned.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, a Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Christmas in July for a lot of fantasy football lovers. Tim in for Bill today. Joe is here, and Paul Charchian is here. Charch from fanball.com and leaguesafe.com as we talk fantasy football. Wide receivers now. Here we go again. People are going to get on their lists, and they're going to check, have a little check mark and do their cheat sheets and the whole deal. Who do we stay away from? We all know kind of the no-brainers. Look at the Cleveland Browns, for example. I mean, there's a team that led the league in yards per play last year. I mean, you talk about a team you want a couple of players on, but are those wide receivers worthy of it? I say yes. Well, what do you say?
Odell Beckham's my number one receiver, Tim. Number one. I got him. I have Davante Adams number two. I've got Beckham number one. And it's because, you know, Odell, I don't even need to make a case that he might be the best receiver in the league just on talent. It's Odell Beckham. He's astounding. And, you know, we're going to be telling our kids about, you know, the various catches that he's made. He's been able to be a great fantasy producer with the fading noodle arm of Eli Manning. You know, now look at what he's got. What's going to happen when he gets to play with the feisty, much stronger armed, better quarterback that he gets now in Baker Mayfield? It's just, and there are so many other things that defenses have to worry about as well. There, you know, in New York, mostly you only had to sweat Odell Beckham. They didn't have a running game until last year. They didn't have any other wide receivers you had to worry about. But now opposing teams have to stop Nick Chubb. And they got to stop later Kareem Hunt, and they got to stop Jarvis Landry. And it's a team with a bunch of talent, and you know they can't just throw three guys on Odell Beckham. He's got upside that I don't think any of the receivers have got. And to me, he's got like 20 touchdown upside in him if he might stay healthy for 16 games and everything clicks right. I see him being potentially a whole step better than the Giants' version of Odell Beckham that we saw before.
Is he worthy of number one overall then?
Well, philosophically, you have to decide, are you cool with all the danger that comes with the running back position? No position flames out more than running backs do, as we alluded to last segment. And for almost everybody, the top four players taken are the running backs that you mentioned at the outset, Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott and Christian McCaffrey. And after that, that's when I think you turn your attention to Odell Beckham and Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and Michael Thomas and Julio Jones. These are guys that never disappoint you. They're always good. They're great players, and mostly with really good quarterbacks. So those are all guys that you take all that risk out of the first round with these proven, great year-after-year wide receivers who almost never let you down.
Yeah, just real quick on that Cleveland Brown thing. There's so many weapons, as you said, even their tight end and some periphery receivers. They got a couple of running backs there. One's going to be back in the second half, and the other one's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
The only thing that scares me, Charge, is whenever everybody gravitates to one thing, like we know one thing is going to happen, and everyone's going, I think this happened to the Philadelphia Eagles when they tried putting together that, stacked team over there in Philly under Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
and it just flopped. And I'm not saying the Browns are going to flop, but it just scares me when we all believe one thing, and I think it puts us in our place oftentimes, and we're all like, yeah, well, it didn't happen. We thought it would. Maybe this is a little bit different, though.
Well, you know, I think more broadly, what you're referring to is a very real thing where the hot, shiny new thing in fantasy football everybody's excited about and gravitates to. And there's what ends up happening is guys like A.J. Green, you know, great receiver, just kind of bored of him, and those guys end up sliding because they're not hot and sexy anymore. And we sort of gravitate to sort of the group think of the exciting up-and-coming guys, and a lot of times there's great value to be had with just your – standard productive guys. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is suffering from some of that, and from a fantasy football sense, a guy who could easily be the highest scoring quarterback in fantasy football this year, but he's not Patrick Mahomes, is he? And he's not Baker Mayfield. And you know, those guys are exciting and young, and you know, people gravitate to those guys more than they do a lot of times your proven veteran players.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of it that way. That shiny new object flying through the air. That's interesting. The A.J. Green is a great example of that. Because that dude's just, health aside, he's just been productive and solid and not that flashy.
Yeah.
But you can count on that dude, wide receiver one, all day long.
Right. And, you know, and people are bored of him. Just because we've been saying his name now for 6-7 years. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. And It's not like Andy Dalton is an incapable passer. He's a functional passer. And AJ Green could easily be a wide receiver one. And right now, you can get him at the in the fourth round, AJ Green. So, yeah, a lot of times we get bored of the old guy.
All right, this one from Mark in Hales Corners, Wisconsin, who says, I've been brooding over this decision for months. I can only keep in my keeper league two of the three wide receivers, Dante Pettis, DJ Moore, and Mike Williams. Can only keep two of those three.
Dante Pettis is not a household name yet. I love Dante Pettis. He is your starting. A lot of people listening don't even know who he is or what team he plays for, I think. He is the starting wide receiver, the number one wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. And get this. When Dante Pettis really started to come on, he was a rookie last year, he was sophomore this year. When he really started to take off was week 12 of last year. If we hone our focus from week 12 to the end of the year last year, with a third-string quarterback throwing him the ball, Dante Pettis was wide receiver 16 in fantasy football. 16. That is a very solid number. How much better does he get with Jimmy Garoppolo? I love Dante Pettis. He's my wide receiver 15, right after Amari Cooper and Stephon Diggs. That's how high I am on him, and so I really do like him. DJ Moore is the number one receiver for Carolina. They don't have many other receiving options besides him, quality options, and presuming that everything health-wise checks off with Cam Newton, he's the other guy I would keep because I want number one wide receivers more than I want number two or number three options like Mike Williams.
And yeah, Mike Williams is the two to Keenan Allen, so I get you there. He also goes on to say, does Tyler Lockett have a chance amongst those three as well?
Yeah, it actually does. And I would actually put Tyler Lockett ahead of DJ Moore. He's my number 18 wide receiver this year.
Wow. Okay. All right. Gotcha. So all of this said, I'm looking at some lists here, and why are guys like Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, and Garoppolo ranked as low as some of the charts that I'm seeing here, Paul?
Yeah, and including me, by the way. I'm one of those guys that have got. I've got Drew Brees as quarterback 17, Rivers as quarterback 20, and Garoppolo at 12. And the reason why is the league is getting filled with these rushing quarterbacks who are just breaking your fantasy football scoring system with their rushing numbers, whether it's Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray, who I love, Cam Newton, Josh Allen. These rushing quarterbacks are giving you running back numbers. They're rushing for 50 yards and a coin flip chance at a touchdown, a rushing touchdown, to go along with whatever they give you from a passing standpoint. And the pure pocket passers, like the guys that you just mentioned, they just don't have the crazy upside that these runners give you. And so a guy like Drew Brees, who will likely run for one touchdown over the course of the season, they just can't register that way. Phillip Rivers, same thing. So that's why those great Hall of Fame, potentially Hall of Fame bound quarterbacks don't end up registering in such a significant way for fantasy.
John in Wausau says Devontae Freeman. Where do you rank him?
Like him. There's a lot of people that are gonna be nervous because of the injury from last year. But Falcons put a ton of offensive equity into their offensive line. And unlike previous seasons, the depth chart behind him is garbage. He's going to get a lot of work this year, a lot of work. And the Falcons are going to be they were a high-scoring team last year, and when they were all beat up and everything that went wrong with the Falcons last year, they are going to be a very high-scoring team, and he's going to get the vast majority of the work, and Devontae Freeman's my number 15 running back.
All right. There it is. Hey, you deadbeats. Pay your fantasy football dues. That includes last year that you still owe your commissioner. Paul Charchian has a solution for everybody. It's leaguesafe.com. Paul, before we let you go, explain that situation.
Go to leaguesafe.com. It's literally under 60 seconds to set up your league, and then we'll go nag your buddies and let them all pay online. No excuses. We locked down the funds for the year, so the commissioner is not off spending it. And the day the season ends, we're ready to pay. It's League Safe can be completely free to use, and we encourage you to try that out. And then the other thing I'll mention, Tim, we've started guillotine leagues. And this is the hottest new thing in fantasy football. In a guillotine league, you play with 17 players, and every week the low-scoring team gets eliminated from the league, and their roster goes to free agency.
Oh, man.
You get an entire draft. The whole roster goes to free agency. Everybody gets a bid on them at once, and it is bonkers. So much fun. GuillotineLeague.com. is the place to go to learn more about Guillotine League. It's the hottest new thing in fantasy football.
That is cool. That is, get your head chopped off with Paul Charchian. That's good. Hey, Charch, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk again.
Thanks,
all right.
Tim. All right. Great.
You got it. There he is, Paul Charchian, fanball.com, leaguesafe.com. I do love this thing about leaguesafe.com. Although I love the old school, I've adapted to the online thing, playing fantasy football since the late 80s. I love the fact that they'll mail you a check if that's what you want. They can credit your card. They could do that and just reverse the charge and put the money back into your account. Or they will literally cut you a check and mail it to you. Love that part of it. Pay your dues. Pay your league fees, especially those of you in my leagues. We just talked with Paul Charchian from fanball.com and leaguesafe.com. A little fired up for fantasy football. And Paul, as all our guests on the Bill Michaels Show, joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.